I'm glad to get to chapter 3 and talk to you for just a few minutes about what's been going on in our work and trying to encourage you just a little bit. I'll be back next month. We'll actually be here November 10th to do our annual check-in, and so I'm excited to preach a little bit then and talk to you some more. But I just want to share with you. Before I do that, I want to pray for you, if that's okay. You are such a huge blessing to us, and you've been a blessing to us this week, and just over and over and over, you don't understand the blessing that you are to us. And so I just want to pray for you right now, and then if I make you mad in a minute, then you'll be okay if I step on your toes or something. So I want to pray for you now, okay? Our Heavenly Father, I just want to come before you and thank you for this church, this body of Christ in this place. I thank you for giving them a generous heart to give towards the ministries of this church, the kind of giving that allows them to pay staff, that allows them to pay for this building to do outreach, but that also allows to support a missionary in an incredibly generous way, along with a bunch of other missionaries in a generous way. I thank you for this church. I thank you for her leadership. And I ask, Lord, that you would bless this church. I ask that you would bless them with new souls saved. I ask that you would bless them with souls that are already saved, stepping up to do more, and that this church would continue to be a generous partner in the gospel with all those around the world that they support, but also that they would take to heart the gospel message in this community. I ask that you would bless them. I ask that you would convict them of their sin so that they might come to know you better, Lord, and that you would raise up workers, laborers for the fields that are ready to be harvested in Russellville, Arkansas, and in Clarksville and Pottsville and all these other places. And it's in Jesus' name I pray these things, Lord. Amen. Thank you. When we first moved to Columbia, we were getting ready to do this. You've got to say, well, what am I going to do? I'm going to go start a church. Cool. How are you going to do that? Again, not sure. We're going to go. But one of the things that really grabbed a hold of me as I was studying Scripture and getting ready to go was Jesus' response to somebody that said, hey, teacher, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is likened to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On this, all the law and prophets are built. So that's what he said. So I was like, these are going to be my two commandments. These are the things that I'm going to do. We go to Columbia, what am I going to do? I'm going to love the Lord the God with all my heart, soul, and mind, to the best of my ability. And I'm going to love my neighbors. But I was still in Fayetteville. And Brittany was outside for some reason and saw a kid riding their bicycle. And they slammed into the car of my neighbor across the street. Like, bad. Like, messed it up. This kid dropped his bicycle and ran. And then his dad came later and got the bicycle, but didn't say anything to the neighbor. So I got home, and Britt told me what happened. Said, I'm just going to go talk to him and tell him what's going on. Now, when we were in Fayetteville, we really didn't have much to do with our neighbors. We were busy. We were doing stuff. They were busy. We didn't really know them. And we'd been there 4 years, but it's like, it's okay. We waved at each other. I'm going to go across the street and talk to her. And I went across the street to talk to him. And I knocked once. She didn't answer. So I knocked again. She didn't answer. I walked over to the car to look and see what kind of damage had actually been done. And she came outside and started screaming at me. Like, she was using all kinds of language. She was mad. She was angry. She was screaming at me. And she was talking about selling stuff. I said, whoa, I live there, and I'm just trying to help you, but if you don't want that, I'll go back over there. And she said, oh, I didn't know you were my neighbor. If I knew you were my neighbor, I never would have talked to you like that. What? Why would you talk to anybody like that anyway? But we talked for a minute, and I explained what was going on and went on. And I realized in that moment that I had lived across from this woman for 4 years, and when I knocked on her door, she didn't know who I was. And I can go to Columbia, Missouri, following the Lord my God, but if I don't know my neighbor's name, I don't know her, I don't love her, and I am sinning against God. You cannot love your neighbor if you have not bothered to learn their name. And I said, we're going to know our neighbors when we go. So we moved to Columbia. And we got to know all our neighbors in our cul-de-sac. Our cul-de-sac became our world. We had Andy and Sarah and Bowen to the right. And he's a realtor and she works at a mortgage company. And Bowen's little. They didn't like to come outside very much. Then you had Dennis on the other side. And he's an Iraq vet. with PTSD that needed some help. And then we had Shane and Melissa, and I did their wedding. We had Josh and Amy, and I tried to help them through their divorce. We had the girls that lived at the end of the street whose dad had been sent to prison when they were young and they didn't have anybody around, and we did what we could with them. But I made sure that whatever happened, I knew my neighbors. I made the effort that I was not going to have one of those situations where I walked to my neighbor and she did not know who I was. They knew who I was, the annoying guy that kept trying to talk to them. But they knew who I was. I've sinned a lot. I've made a lot of mistakes. But I wanted to make sure that I knew my neighbors. See, God's loved the world so much that He sent His only Son so that anyone who would believe would not perish, but instead would have everlasting life. God did not just send His Son so that the world would have this, but He sent the Joneses to Austin because He loved Austin so much that He sent the Joneses to tell Austin, or Pflugerville, what it was that Jesus had done for them. And He loved Columbia so much that He sent us to tell what He had done with it. He sent people to Romania because He loves them to tell. He sent people to Canada. He sent people to Fayetteville, Arkansas. He sent people all over the place because not only does He love them enough to send His Son to die, but He loves them enough to send people to tell. And that's what a missionary does. Amen. Honor the Lord thy God and love your neighbor as yourself. Now here's the thing. Not only does God love Columbia, Pflugerville, so much that He sent people there, but do you realize that God loves the cities of Russellville and Clarksville and Danville? Y'all got a lot of Villes. Pottsville. So much that He has placed missionaries in every single one of those communities. And He has given those missionaries two commands: to love the Lord thy God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Spoiler alert, you're the missionary that God has placed in those places. And God loved them so much that He sent them you. He has divinely and sovereignly placed you in your neighborhood. And if I ask you if you love your neighbor, say, yeah, I love my neighbor. What's their name? See, I sinned against God by not knowing my neighbor's name. And that command does not just apply to missionaries, but applies to each and every one of us. Do you love your neighbors? If you don't know their name, if you haven't bothered to learn their name, if you haven't made the effort to learn their name, then you do not love your neighbor. And you've sinned against them and against God. God has placed a missionary in that community. Now, if you were to judge me, if you brought me up and you said, what's your neighbor's names? And I said, I don't know my neighbor's names. I didn't know they drive a red truck. Would you judge me a good, competent missionary or not? No. You would say, what are you doing up there? But if I went around the room and asked you, do you know your neighbor's names? And we judged the missionaries in this room by that same scale, would you have sinned against God or not? He loved the world so much, He sent His Son to die and rescue them. And He sent you to tell them, do you love your neighbors? You realize that your neighbors are dying and going to hell, and the one that God has tasked with telling them the solution is you? You. Amen. And if you're not doing it, no one else is. If you have talked to your neighbor about your lawn, but you have not talked to them about Jesus, you don't love your neighbor. Amen. If you have talked to your neighbor about politics, but you have not talked to them about Jesus, you don't love your neighbor. If you have talked to your neighbor about a casino, but you have not talked to them about Jesus, you don't love your neighbor. Just checking. I'm going to just talk to you for a second. We talk to our neighbors about things that matter. We got to stop the casino because it's going to destroy the economy. And it's going to make poor people poor, and it's going to bring in crime. And that's terrible. But you know what's worse? They're going to hell. Do you love your neighbor? Don't say yeah, but ask yourself this question. Do you know their names? Have you shared the gospel with them? Would Jesus say you loved your neighbor? Because one of the things that convicted me the most was that I did not love my neighbors and I had sinned against God. And if you don't know your neighbor's name, if you're not praying for your neighbors, you have sinned against God and need to repent and obey. Amen. Thank you.
Well, we're here again, and did y'all get fired up listening to him talk? I want to tell you, from a country boy from East Texas, who was actually going to talk about neighboring, it's really kind of cool, but you know, Brother Jerry, it's awesome when you see God. I was sitting there thinking, I'm like, what I want to do, I really don't want to do because I don't have enough time, and then he hit it on the head. So, guys, neighboring works. I'm telling you, it's an art. There's actually a book written about it, about the art of being a good neighbor. I was talking today with some of the guys. Being a good neighbor is not evangelism, but it goes a long way. It goes a long way in being able to share Christ with your neighbors. I want to share very quickly a story with you about that, just that thing, about being a neighbor. When we moved to Austin, same thing. I was told by some very dear missionary friend of mine named Lynn Rayburn, that he said, if you won't witness and if you won't tell people about Jesus and be neighborly where you are, chances are very good that you won't do it when you get on the field. With all the training, with all the degrees, with all of the stuff you have, if you won't do it now, you won't do it later. And so it really started convicting me. And I said, okay, well, how do you do it? How do you do this stuff? And so we didn't know. I told you, the first week we were there, we just walked around the neighborhood and met our neighbor. I will challenge you guys, if you will do this, it not only works, but it's miraculous. The things that God will do if you start to know your neighbor, it'll blow your mind. God will do things that will change you. What He said is true. You can't really say, as a church, that you love your community if you don't know them, if you don't know who that community is. You should know. You really should need to do demographic studies of your neighborhood. Because you should know if you're keeping up with it. So, quick story. When we first moved there, we were brand new. We didn't know what we were doing. Still don't know what we're doing. We're learning as we're going. The neighboring principle, I didn't really understand it completely, but I said, we're just going to do it. And we're just going to do the best we can. We're going to make all the mistakes. I told you about the Taiwanese lady, Miss Riva, and what an amazing neighbor she was. She was our neighbor, and we didn't know. We had never met her. There was a guy named Scott Paulson. He's the president of our HOA, which is really cool. You get in with the president as quick as you can. But he was a guy who was going through life, was very unhappy. He'd been through a lot of rough stuff in his life. He'd been raised devout Catholic, very, very devout to his faith, but wasn't finding the fulfillment that he needed. He had married his wife, Jamie, and she was very much an atheist in all intents and purposes. She didn't really respond to the gospel. They made a deal when they got married. She said, you can do your religious thing, but you leave me alone. I don't want what you got. And so he had struggled through, you know, 2.5 years of trying to figure out how to make this work. You know, how do I do my faith stuff, but yet my wife wants nothing to do with it. And he had a son there as well. So started neighboring. Didn't know these people directly, but we knew some neighbors who knew some neighbors. And we were at a barbecue one night, and he came up and he talked to me. I talked to his wife first, didn't know who she was, had never met her before. Started talking to them, and very quickly it got brought up, there's the preacher in the corner. Well, that's a terrible place to be if you are in a room full of unbelieving people who hate your guts. That's the preacher in the corner. Well, he catches me and he comes across there and he says, so you're a preacher, huh? And so he asked me about what do I like to do for fun. And I didn't know if that was a trick question, what he was asking, but he said, do you like movies? So I said, yeah, I like movies. Disney movies, all that kind of stuff. No, that's not what I said. I said, I'm a science fiction nerd. I like all the cool, Star Wars. And I said, except Star Trek, don't throw stones at me. I'm like, I don't, He said, really? So for an hour, he sat there and grilled me on every single science fiction movie that he could think of. And at the end, after a long story of avoidance, him trying to stay away from me all through the night, he said, okay, you're cool. I said, okay. So that sounds good. Well, then a couple of weeks later, at the next barbecue, we started developing a friendship. I learned his name. I learned his wife's name. I learned what he liked to do. He was a middle manager in Dell Computers. We started spending time together, just randomly meeting each other, passing on the street, stopping our trucks, or his truck and my little car, and we would talk. Well, then, fast forward another month, and he grabs me by the shoulder one night, and he says, I need to talk. Out in the front yard. I just need to ask you a few questions. So we get out there, and he says, okay, I haven't been to confession in almost 2 years. He said, I haven't taken the sacraments in a year and a half, and haven't been to Mass in a year and a half. He said, I'm afraid I'm going to hell. What do I do? And if he listened to this, I think he would approve the message. I just told him, because I joke around about everything. I never take anything serious. I said, well, yeah, you're going to hell, but not because of that. And he just kind of stood there aback that I would say that. And I said, well, it's not about what you do until you know. And so right there in his front lawn, I was able to share Christ with him. And you know what? He wasn't saved. He just kind of looked at me like, nah, it can't be that easy. And so, but you know what? I didn't stop being a neighbor. I didn't stop just because his wife didn't believe and he didn't understand. 6 months later, after barbecue, after barbecue, after spending time in his home, we went camping together. And we spent an entire weekend with her family. And sitting around a fire for 6 hours, we went through this gospel thing over and over and over. And at 3 a.m. that morning on a Saturday night, the dude finally, it clicked. And you know what it was? It was not any magical formula. It was what Ben just said. It was being willing to be friends. Being willing to go out there to that lady with the dented car, and now she knows you. Do you know that's the first thing we do when we move into a new neighborhood? We've moved 3 times since we've been on the field. You can do it 3 times, 3 years. And every place we go, the first thing we did it this time with our Japanese missionary intern that we had, we knocked on all 21 doors on our street and introduced ourselves to half of those. Some of them weren't home. And you know how weird that is to carry your entire homeschool family and introduce yourself to your neighbors? It's strange, weird, and they think it's just as strange. But you know what? We know all their names. We know what they do. And about 4 of those people have become pretty good friends. And 2 families have visited church. Because you just are going out and inviting. Do you realize what would happen here at Russellville Baptist Church if every single one of you did what Ben said? You got off of your Saturday morning couch and you went across the street and you said, hey, this is weird. We've probably lived here for 10 years. We don't know anything. I feel ashamed. I'm sorry. I'm a terrible neighbor. I don't even know your name. I know you as the guy with the red truck that I wave at every morning. What's your name? My name's Scott. You can, and we were talking earlier, you use your name, don't use mine. You can do what you need to do, but introduce yourself, learn them, and then in a secret place where they won't ever see, go write that down. Don't glue it on your refrigerator. I made that mistake. I had all of my neighbors' names and what they loved on the refrigerator, and they came over. Yeah, don't do that. Because they're like, what is this? Nothing? Nothing? No, it's just we're doing research. We're with Barna. And so, but write it down. Put it in your phone. Remember it and start praying. We started praying for Scott and Jamie the day that we met them. And it took a year of hard work. And he was saved. And now he is the president of our board for our church. And we're a little church, but he's now the dude. Kills it. He's leading a life group. He's in a fight club. And he is my secondhand guy. I mean, if I need something, he's the middle manager at Dell. He knows how to get stuff done. I come up with the cool ideas, and he figures out how to get it done. Other news with his wife. Do you know she started coming to church? She ran our Facebook page for a long time. She invited a couple to church that later, 6 months later, gave their life to Christ. We baptized both of them. Now they are working in church, life group, and helping lead. That family then invited another family that now The husband was saved. The wife's not saved yet. This lady, who is not a believer, invited two families who are now coming to church. Because we're neighbors. She asked, the question got asked, and I want to close with this, and I want to leave this with you. Remember, this lady, we are good friends with her. They're best friends with our family. Would do anything for us. She was asked the question, why do you go to that church? I mean, she says, I don't believe any of the stuff, but she said, I can't beat the community. I can't find this kind of love stuff that they carry on with. They're legit in their love. I can't find that anywhere else. Isn't that cool? You know, not because of us, it's our people. You know, we've taught them, get out there and know your neighbor. And now they are all doing the neighborhood stuff. And we go through it once a year. We talk about being a neighbor. What's that look like? And guys, if you'll do that, if you'll start meeting your neighbors, it's not hard. You don't have to give them the gospel the first time you meet them. You can, but I don't know. Get to know their names. Do what Ben said. Find out who they are. And then the Holy Spirit will blow your neighborhood apart. And you'll be the guy having the party at Halloween, at Christmas, at Thanksgiving. And you will have all of those people coming to your house. And you're going to get to know them. And then the Holy Spirit's going to start dropping the gospel everywhere you are. So keep it up. Thank you guys so much for everything that you've done this week. It is so good to get to kind of come away every now and then and get loved on. The four-wheelers were awesome. Guys, I got the biggest four-wheeler y'all had. It was an automatic. And, you know, and I was, man, it was great. Sorry, Ben. I know you got the small one. But, man, you guys killed it. And let me shoot guns, which is always good for a Texan. Thank you, guys.